told of a contemplative. You know, someone who spends a great deal of time and attention in study, in prayer, and in silence. And through these practices over time, this contemplative realized that there is at least one truth in this life. That all things are passing away. All of us. Everything. Now, this truth came in an unassuming manner, as truth often does. It was revealed when they were drinking a glass of water. And in that moment, they became aware not only of the glass's utility, but of its simple beauty. And then they saw a day that would likely come to pass when, in a moment of inattentiveness, they would mistakenly just knock the glass off the table and it would fall to the floor and shatter. But this contemplative realized that this did not mean that the glass did not matter because one day it will break. No, instead, through that revelation and that realization, the glass became that much more precious. Because one day it will pass away. And so this day it must be cared for. Last week, our preacher Michael LeMaire reminded us that these stories of end times are here not for us to obsess about, like when will they happen? Remember, this is like a thief in the night. These stories are not for us to be paralyzed by for fear, but instead these visions are to call our attention as to how we are to live now. Right now, this moment, this day, this week. The endings and the beginnings, they tell us actually about the middle, right? About this present moment. Because all has been created and all will come to an end. We know not when, just that it will. So pay attention now. Friends, believe it or not, this gospel is not about despair. It's not about despair's cousin, known as cynicism. Right? That what is taking place in Hong Kong or in Mexico City or in Ferguson cannot or will not change. No, it can. And it will. But at this time of year, we must awake and approach a beginning by entering into the ending once more. These visions of apocalypse, whether told in the book of Daniel, which Mark's gospel draws from heavily, or in the book of Revelation, they're often written from a very particular perspective. They're written by a people being beaten down by empire. Now, when I say empire, I'm not just talking about one empire, Roman, Babylonian, or other. I mean empire, capital E, empire. Right? These visions are written anytime the powers that be, whether economic, political, military, judicial, and often they are interwoven and interconnected. Anytime they pursue their own agendas over and against ordinary people. In these times, those being crushed by the unjust use of power through law, force, or trade, they call upon God to tear open the heavens, that the powers of sun and moon and mountain, even they will be overcome in the name of justice, of wrong being righted. Like many here this morning, friends, this past week, my heart was broken. Again. The decision of the grand jury to not indict Officer Darren Wilson in the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson. caucus in Missouri was in several ways expected. Yet once again, it laid bare an ugly, often unacknowledged reality. That young black men are being killed by the system intended to protect and serve them along every citizen of the United States of America. And once again this week, the mistrust and the pain and the anger that simmers in this nation is boiling over. So that I am clear, I cannot support acts of violence and destruction. And I find great resonance in the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who once said that a riot is the language of the unheard. And much has gone unheard. Now, my guess is that not everyone in this sacred space this morning may agree on the facts of that particular case. But one thing is certain, that at the end of that day, another young black man was killed, this time by an officer attempting to keep the peace. But friends, this is not just about Ferguson, Missouri. I say this especially to my sisters and brothers in Christ who are white like me. Because part of the despair for many in this country this week comes from a sense of dread. Weren't we just here with Trayvon Martin, with Oscar Grant, with Sean Bell, with scores and scores of others? And when we reach back, it's Emmett Till in 55. It's the massacre of newly settled black folks in East St. Louis, Illinois in 1917. And back it goes. Yes, things are different. But a persistent truth must still be told today in 2014. At the sanitation worker strike in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968, the strike that drew Martin King to Memphis where he was martyred, the demonstrators bore signs with this stark witness: I am a man. I am a man. Yes, times have changed, but it is one of our most profound failures as a nation that today that witness still needs to be said. Now, it follows the hashtag, Black Lives Matter. It's this cry. It's this cry of, do our lives matter? And it's a cry that echoes from Babylon to the Galilee to the Bay Area. And what is the response? Our first response comes from Jesus at the end of this passage from Mark's Gospel, and it is this: wake up. Wake up to all of what surrounds you. Now, some of us here today have been awake to this since our earliest memories of a darker shade of skin. Some of us awoke to this when our families grew and when we were gifted with a new son-in-law or a grandchild or a niece or a daughter or a son, and we came to see this country through their eyes, and it changed the ways that we are awake and alert. Some of us awoke to this because of a beloved friend or a colleague at work or a classmate. But for all of us, this is a clarion call as a nation and specifically as spiritual siblings who call the Prince of Peace as our brother. We must awake that we may see with new eyes and feel with new hearts what is broken around us and what is broken within us. With discipline, with sacrifice, with endurance, we must confront the assumptions that hold up our systems. And because it is hard, nearly impossible, to repair the world around us if we do not first begin the work of repair of what is fractured within us, this inner work must be engaged. It is then when we begin to awake through prayer, through conversations of real risk, through real encounter, that we can begin the work that the psalmist in Psalm 80 Restore us, O God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance. In other words, show us yourself, and we shall be saved. Restore us. Make whole what is fractured, divided, missing. That is how we will know when and where God's reign is breaking in, where the Emmanuel is. When people who have been broken by systems, by empire that seeks only its own ends, when people are made whole. Restore us, O God of hosts, and not just restore me, not just the people in my family, not just the people around my Thanksgiving table, not just those I am comfortable with, not just us, all. It cannot be restoration until we are all part of this holy project of making right, making whole what is broken by human sin. The Right Reverend Nathan Baxter, retired Bishop of Central Pennsylvania, wrote on behalf of the Union of Black and many other Episcopalians this week. And he called for a voice of hope against cynicism, that's just the way it is, and against despair. No option but rage. This same yearning for hope was seen this past week when a group of youth from the Emiliano Zapata Street Academy in Oakland wrote this prayer with some of their clergy and community leaders. It reads, "Dear God, our hope is for the safety of our youth and loved ones. Our hope is that we embrace each other's children as our own. Our hope is to create space for conversation and dialogue, to respect one another in love and solidarity. Our hope is for justice." Oakland to Ferguson. Our hope, what is coming clear, is that much like the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, was led in the 1960s by people in their 20s and younger, many of those today, bending the arc of the universe towards justice, are young. And they are passionate for the restoration of all. And not just in Missouri, but in New York, in Seattle, in Portland, in Oakland. But friends, they cannot do this work alone. And as Paul assures us, we have been given all the gifts of the Spirit needed for this work. Friends, the beginning of the end draws near. The end of this beginning is at hand, and we are here now. We must awake, friends, to see, to feel, to act, to live. We must awake.